This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Hello, good morning. 9 minutes past eight this lovely Tuesday morning. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. How are you doing? I'm pretty sure you're having an amazing time at work. If you're already at the office, if you're on your way, hopefully you're not stuck in traffic. Well, get there soon. Have a great day, is all I can say for now. Well, our conversation this morning has a lot to do with the situation with Nigerian students, ASUU, and the federal government. Okay, so the Minister of State for Education, Chuke Mekanwajuba, had said that the federal government has met all the demands of ASUU, which is a huge statement to some people, many people. He said all the earned allowances as well as revitalization funds have been released. The big question would be, those two things he mentioned, are they all the demands ASUU asked for? Well, we'll find out shortly. Joining us via telephone, former ASUU chairman, University of Port Harcourt chapter, Dr. Austin Sado, who'll be speaking with us on this particular issue. ASUU, meanwhile, had accused the federal government of working against the deployment of the UTAS. This is the payment platform that was designed by ASUU as against the IPPIS, which the government is saying is its preferred payment platform. All right, Dr. Sado, good morning.
Hello, good morning,
Andrew. You're welcome. Thank you for making your time available for us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So quickly, into the matter, the strike ASUU extended by 8 weeks. That's 2 months after the one-month warning strike. Let's start from there. Is there a particular reason why? What led to the conclusion that the strike should be extended, especially with the fact that we didn't get to see any statement after the meeting that was held in Abuja?
Well, there was a statement, actually. There was a statement, and I can avail you that statement if you want at the end of this session.
That would be fantastic, because what we saw straight away was the fact that the strike has been extended by 8 weeks. All right.
Now, the reason for extending is just because of government attitude, and we had enough time. We thought that government had enough time, at least from the day from 14th of February to 13th of March. We thought that was more than enough time for government to respond and fulfill its obligation with respect to both the Memorandum of Action of December 2020 and the terms of 2009 agreement. Unfortunately, when the government sat that period out without any meaningful or significant response to the demands of the union. And then, of course, apart from that, the government had now embarked on a press war and blackmail against the union and outrightly telling lies about the development and their engagement with the union.
So the demands that they say have been met, is that a lie or not?
The demands that they have met, the demands?
The Minister of State for Education says that the federal government has met all the demands of ASUU. He listed two of them, to include the earned allowances and all revitalization funds, he says, have been released. Is he lying or telling the truth about meeting the demands?
It's a figment of the imagination of Emeka. There is nothing close to reality. The statement he has made is nowhere near reality. As a matter of fact, the Minister of Education has not had any contact with ASUU in terms of dealing with this, or in any other respect, since 14th of February until 13th of March. Even as I speak, up to last night, we have not had any contact, anything from the Minister of Education. As I've said before, we have met twice with the Minister of Labour and Employment, who is the government conciliator. And he has made his stand known. He has taken sides with government by declaring that he has apprehended the strike. And only yesterday, I thought I didn't understand enough English, so I had to ask one of the people one of the staff of the Labour Ministry. What do you people really mean when you say you have apprehended the strike and people can go back to work? He said, well, whenever there is a strike action and the government and the conciliator calls the government party and calls the other party to the table and they say, oh, we are aware you're on strike, that is how to apprehend strike. And I think that was laughable. Because that's just what Ndidi has done. We have had two engagements with him, and all they have just done in those two engagements is that, look, you shouldn't have gone on strike. You didn't write us letter. Anyway, now that you have gone on strike, I have apprehended it, and the government is going to do something about it. And that's what they want. What did they say in December? In December 2020, when we signed that memorandum of action to suspend the strike in December 2020, they gave timelines. They gave timelines of what they were going to do. And I was shocked that at the last meeting we had with the Minister of Labour and the Minister of Labour and Employment, the government doesn't have record that they have paid. And they said, oh, okay, let us go back and check our records. With respect to
revitalization. We need you to explain that again. At the last meeting, you're saying the federal government didn't have a record of whether or not they have paid any revitalization fund?
We told them that they have paid just two tranches of the four that were agreed. And they didn't have the record that they have paid. They said, oh, we have paid all. Keep us the record. In fact, from the record brought by, I think, the Accountant General Office and the Budget Office, they couldn't come together to say, oh, we have paid this. They didn't. And they said, okay, let's go back and find out how much. And you ask yourself, how could people who are superintending over the commonwealth of this nation at any point not be able to say, look, we have paid on this date, we paid this amount of money. As we speak, we still don't know. They have not gone back to us to say whether they have clarified what they have paid or what they have not been paid. And Emeka Nwajima has never been part of those meetings.
All right, so Dr. Sado, sorry to interrupt you. We want to get this clear. From your records, the federal government only met two tranches, only paid two tranches of the revitalization fund. Okay, and the agreement was for four times, right?
And there were four times, and the fourth was to have been paid in February this year.
And they didn't do that.
Have been paid sometime, I think, May last year. They didn't pay those two.
And they did not have a record that shows they didn't have a record to say that they even paid the first two.
Yes, they didn't.
Okay, what is the situation with the UTAS? Because we also know that has become a problem. I mean, just a while, I think during the week, ASU was berating the Director General of the National Information Technology, Kashifu Inua, because he made some comments that UTAS has failed integrity tests. Meanwhile, the ASU president has said that that's a lie, that it's still ongoing, the test. User acceptance test is still ongoing. What's the issue between the federal government and ASU with regards to UTAS and IPs at the moment? Where does it stand?
It's still a game of blackmail. That's what it is. And the president was right in what the president in his comment. And yesterday, on our live television, both the Director General of NIDA and ASU president were invited for a program. We went for that program. The director of NIDA, those who watch the program can confirm what I'm saying. The presenter said that the director said he was awaiting the minister's permission before he would come for that program. At the end of that program, he didn't attend. Meanwhile, our president left the testing venue at NIDA office to go to arise to attend, to be on that program, just to explain to Nigerians. If I thought that any opportunity given to government to explain clearly what government has done should be grabbed by two hands. So why he didn't come on? And we have also challenged NIDA to a public debate that we will want the evaluation. Let them do the testing in public clear. Let them declare the terms, the parameters for their testing. Because what we see is that when you go there, sometimes they have some hatchet men who they tried to throw spanner in the web. Oh, they asked a very common question, very rudimentary, and stayed on that. But it has nothing. As a matter of fact, one of the people there was asking us, we have not seen the role to be played by accountant general in this. What has accountant general got to do with the administration of the university? So, clearly there is a plan and strategy to undermine the integrity of UTAS in order to prevent its deployment. Mm. And government and the agents of government are fabricating whatever comes into their mind in a way in order to discredit UTAS.
But okay.
We have not come to the conclusion of that, because until we end the testing and get the report from their system on the testing of UTAS, we will not say whether or not UTAS has passed. But from the position we are in now, I can tell you clearly that there has not been any significant failure in application. And so we're just waiting for the comprehensive report. Hopefully, in a few days' time, we'll be through with the evaluation and we'll get the report. And we will expect that they will also put that report in public domain.
All right, Dr. Sado, before we let you go quickly, we need to get your opinion on this. Now that ASUU has said, okay, we've extended the strike by 2 months, what's the fate of the year one students who are supposed to have exams and even those that are supposed to return? Not forgetting that the University of Port Harcourt also was planning for its convocation. What's going to happen with all of those?
If you read the papers this morning, you will see that University of Calabar, that is expected to have convocation in a week's time, they have postponed it. And that's just about the fourth university that is postponing convocation. So I don't see the big deal about convocation. With respect to year one, we cannot treat a set of students differently from the others. It's painful that we're on this strike, and we all feel the burden and the pain. And many of us who are involved in one way or the other with this strike, this is perhaps the times we never want to be in because of the challenges of the time, but we understand that it's a sacrifice that we're making to build up our nation. We implore Nigerians to be part of this struggle, part of this sacrifice, so we can protect our tomorrow. Our leaders do not mean well for our education. They want to keep us as perpetual slaves by denying us education. And we believe that if we stand together, we will make the government do what is expected of it.
All right. And finally, what's your position on this concerning that question just skipped my mind now. It was very important. But then hopefully we get it and we could still speak on that particular issue later on. But then, okay, if the 2 months get exhausted that you're on now, should we expect an indefinite strike? Is there any conversation as regards to what ASUU would do at the expiration of this 8 weeks?
Well, I think Nick, in its wisdom, the fact that since government could not use the 4 weeks window to deal with those issues, that they probably need more than 4 weeks and give 8 weeks. So Nigerians should hold the government accountable for whatever will happen. I cannot preempt any action. In fact, as a matter of fact, we were discussing and saying, well, if the government is proactive and comes up with solution today, tomorrow the universities will reopen. And so it is for them to take advantage of this long period of time, since 4 weeks initially was not enough. They should take advantage of these 8 weeks. If they deal with these issues before the expiration of 1 week, 2 weeks, as the case may be, the schools will reopen.
All right.
If they fail to do that, then we will review it at the end of the day and respond to that.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Sado, for your time.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, you heard it there. That's the former ASUU chairman, University of Port Harcourt chapter, Dr. Austin Sado. Interesting conversation. Well, also, we would be speaking with the NANTS chairman, River State chapter, Jokiel Gideon Chinonso. That's National Association of Nigerian Students chairman here in River State. He'll be with us via telephone as well. We need to also begin to ask questions. What's the fate of students now? What's their next step? Remember that NANTS has said that it will convene a meeting to deliberate on its next line of action. This was after the extension of the strike by 2 months. The national president of Nantes said the association will come up with a decision in 2 days' time. Well, is there anything we can find out before then? Well, stick around. You might just get that information. You can send messages to us on WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. On social media, Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. At the moment, we're not live on Facebook, but you can join the conversation on Twitter and drop your comments. We'll go on a short commercial now. As soon as we return from that one, the conversation continues to take some of your calls as well. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. In Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, Apist 8 is what the time is this morning. And the conversation is still ongoing. The situation with ASUU. The government says we have met all your demands. If that's the case, why is the strike still on? Should we expect an indefinite strike action after the expiration of this 8 weeks extension? Well, we heard from the former national, former ASUU chairman, Uniport chapter, and you heard his answers to some of the questions that were asked. Well, we will be speaking shortly with the Nantes chairman, River State chapter, Joke Okijon Chinonso, who is already standing by. But before we do that, let's get on to the phone lines and get a bit of your contribution. So, all you can do is call us up on the following numbers: 0817 923 0003 0817 923 0007 and 0009. You can send your WhatsApp messages to 0819 30 6416. That is the WhatsApp number if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. All right. Hello, good morning, Mr. Gideon.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
All right, welcome. Good morning to you. So, quickly, so we don't take much of your time. Now that the strike has been extended, we remember that yesterday the national leadership of Nantes had said it was going to meet within 48 hours to decide its next line of action. From your position as the chairman here in River State, has there been any conclusion as to what students should, what the union would be doing next?
Okay, like you made reference to, the leadership of Nantes National as at yesterday, given call for an expanded stakeholder meeting, which is today, being Tuesday 15. So at the end of the expanded stakeholder meeting today, we'll be able to come up with a more drastic mean and confrontational mean to permanently put an end to the ASUU saga.
Okay. Has there been also, when you say put an end to the ASUU saga, how do you mean? Because ASUU want to stay on strike, how do you intend to put an end to it?
Okay, we all have known ASUU to be synonymous with strike. You know, it is irrational, unreasonable, and worth not thinking of that one will continue in the same action and expect a different result. ASUU has continued in this action of incident strike and all and what have you. And I wonder why they would expect the same result. It is in the same country we are, for crying out loud. This administration. Okay, in 2 years back, or a year back, we had 7 months after strike. And their demands were not attended to as how they want.
So are you saying that students should accept the situation as it is now, that the government may not want to invest? Is that what you're saying? That the government may not be ready to invest in the educational sector, and for that reason, ASU shouldn't bother going on strike, and let's just make do with what we have. Is that what you're insinuating?
The solution to all we are suffering is, if it will take us closing down institutions and this problem solved once, but I think in this case, ASO was, members of ASO are staff employed in these institutions. They were not employed into a perfect system, which they are supposed to forget, to remember that they were not employed into a perfect system. And what they should do at this point is putting square pegs in square holes and not shutting down the system.
So, You don't think that NANS in support? Okay, is NANS in, so NANS is not in support of ASU's position?
We are not in support of ASU's shutdown of our own university. Nothing that it is detrimental to us. Not even to ASU as a claim. It is not in any way detrimental to ASU, because if their demands are met, shockingly, ASU officials as lecturers to be paid. Government officials that have provided to the education sector will get paid. When you come down to students, who suffer the gap in age, the gap in payment we've made. For paying out loud, we pay our fees so well. If you don't even pay fees, you wouldn't even be given the privilege. Education is no longer free. So we pay fees, and as such, should enjoy the value of that fee which we pay as students.
Okay, so there were talks about trying to include students in the negotiation process. How is that coming up? Is there any plans to see that students are part of the negotiation process between the federal government and ASU?
Okay, after the last move NANS made, that was the 28th of last month, that NANS had to block federal routes, that those at Abuja met with the Minister
for Education.
You saw his reaction. It was obvious they weren't ready to accommodate the students into to bring in the students into the negotiation board. It is clear.
But is that something that NANS would try to push for? Is that something NANS would be trying to push for, to be involved in the negotiation process? I mean, you have said that when these strikes happen, students suffer the most. If ASU is settled, if ASU gets their demand met, who meets the demands of students? That's a question that you ask. So if students are involved in the negotiation process, perhaps you might also have a say in what happens. So is that something NANS will continue to push for, to be part of the negotiation process?
Yes, that is one of the demands of that. Let federal government and ASU know that this negotiation is triangular. Triangular, I mean, we have the federal government, we have ASU, and we have the student community. So at the point when they fail to recognize this, and they claim to, the ASU claim to protect the interests of Nigerian students as enshrined in their demand. Now the question is, you cannot shave the man's hair in his absence. You cannot. So, at the point when they bring in the student community into the negotiation table, we'll be able to, you know, ask some critical questions. You can see what happened the last time when NANS had a one-on-one discourse with the Minister for Education. You saw what happened. So, these are many more they are avoiding, because they know too well that would equally let them know these things they are trying to avoid. You cannot say you are securing our interest and you're sending us home. They are from the angle of ASU. And also, the student community, being part of the negotiation, being people who are the suffering end of this whole thing, would know we are there to channel efforts to.
Okay.
To know how best to follow up its implementation.
Mm. All right. So, go on.
So, these are many more why the citizen community from NAN demands to be part of the negotiation committee.
All right.
Because it's now turning into a thing of dictates there. Federal government and also would negotiate and at some point come to compromise. In the next 1 year, you come up with ASSO strike again. And you see that every 4 years course or 5 years course, you intend doing, there is always a breach.
All right.
From the lacunas from ASSO and federal government.
All right, in a few seconds before we let you go, tell us, should we expect some sort of protest by NANS anytime soon with regards to this situation?
Okay, what we did last time on the 28th of February was a warning action after we also saw 1 month warning strike as the ultimate. NANS gave a 1 day warning action. So at this point and moment when ASSO is seeing 8 weeks, 2 months as the remedy, I believe the action, the decision of NAN after today's meeting would be more drastic, mean and confrontational. And at that point too, the ASSO and federal government should be ready to contain the actions and inactions of NAN.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Chinonso.
Thank you very much.
All right. Do have a wonderful day. Well, you heard there, actions and inactions. That decision will be made known to us after their meeting today. But then he says if ASU is doing 8 weeks, their own decision might even be something that might be more serious than what they did the first time. Let's go on to the phone lines and get your thoughts quickly. 0817-923-0002-0003-0007-0009. Those are the numbers for you to call to be part of the conversation. You have 1 minute. Hello, good morning, yes. Nigeria Info.
I'm the mayor.
Go on.
Yes, I think there should be protest because there's a strike action already by ASU. ASU on strike because they're not receiving the desired attention from the government. Now, who suffers is the students. So the students are suffering it. So the students should come out and protest. They are not protesting to ASU. They are protesting to the government that we are not getting the attention we ought to get. Government should now answer ASU. So students should protest. They shouldn't just sit at quietly. They should protest because government is entitled to education for the students. That's my view.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning. Good morning, Nigeria Info. Lost that call. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info. Lost that one too. On WhatsApp, a few messages. This one says, Andrew, ask your guest if what ASU is demanding for is not for students' benefits. Yes, I think he highlighted that, but then also gave his own position about it. I mean, he called it shaving a man's hair in his absence. I think that's the proverb
Hello.
Used for it. Yes, good morning, Nigeria Info. Go on. All right, go ahead.
So my contribution is, you see the problem of ASU and the federal government. I know the federal government, most of them, their children are outside schooling. So that's why they don't care what is happening in Nigerian education. Even if most of them who are lecturers, their children are outside. That's why you always see them, you always back in doctoral action, always. In other words, the children, which is troubled. Other people are spending for their children, but their children are outside. That's why they don't care whether they will take care of education or not in the country, which is very good, which is very bad. So we have to look into that to know what to do. They have to settle that issue so that people will consider their education. These people are spending a lot, even paying the house rent to their children. Before you know, they have been a try, they always to put another one. So federal government has to know the need to do it. That is, it's not the house of rent who are here. You think that's 14 billion every month. By 14 million every month. Why to spend the little money because it's progress to them? That is, that's what they have to do. Please, thank you. That's the good.
Thank you very much. With regards to, I know of a lot of university lecturers whose students are here in Nigeria. A few might be outside the shores of the country, but I think most of them school here in the country as well. The former ASU chairman I just spoke with, Unipod chapter, I think his children are also here in Nigeria in school, and that means they are sitting at home with him at the moment. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good morning.
Actually, send me. Sorry.
Hello. Good morning to you.
Morning. Good morning.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, okay. It's just an unfortunate situation, honestly, that we have a government who fixed education at the bottom of the pyramid. I mean, if it's approving for cars, it's approving for life pension, is that they can do it. I mean, it's much easier for them. A year program of a 2019-2020 session that I enrolled in the university from 2019 is now 3 years, and it's so unfortunate. The government must accept this and also negotiate with ASU and meet ASU's demand so that the schools are reopened. It's very important before we begin to have a spillover of this. Students too.
All right. Thank you very much. On WhatsApp, this one says, what happens to the fees that students pay in their respective universities? That's the big question. Because if the strike stays for longer than necessary, the fees expires, it means you have to pay again, not to mention house rents. And then there's the psychological impact that this has on you as a person and the confidence you have in what education means. We're beginning to, with this activity of government and all that's happening, gradually you're beginning to have students who psychologically would begin to look at education as not what is necessary. It's like saying education is important, but then when they go to get it, this is what they meet. So how do you reconcile this? It's a big issue too. Hello, Nigerian. So good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, my name is Andy, and I'm calling you from Rumotemaya.
All right, 1 minute, Andy, go on.
And Andrew, if I am not going to guess wrongly, I'll guess rightly that you, as educated as you are, and doing your profession, calling the likes of Dayo, Inoho, Bobire, then when one comes out of the broadcasting areas, you go to medical areas, you hear of different people who have done very well and who is still doing very well. And at the end of the day, still, we have still got some people outside here who has finished first degree here in Nigeria and has gone abroad and are doing very well. So, if you ask me, this system has been on board. This system has always been before now that people like and I have been able to graduate in these schools and we are doing very well. And at the end of the day, people speak good of us.
So, your point is...
What is the problem with ASU? ASU is playing with the life and destiny of some of these students. Let's face the fact. At the end of the day, go back to the school and hear when the lecturer talked about they are expecting money. Where is the money coming from? The money is never coming or in any way used at the end of the day to develop the schools. So what we are saying is this. ASU should keep their sword. Go and ask among all the institutions, all the ministries. None of the ministries in Nigeria is working. So why will it be that the educational aspect has to be something that at the end of the day is not depriving the children of their future? So what we are saying is this, please, ASU does not have any excuse or anything to tell us. We that are students and so many persons that have graduated in the past are doing very well. So that system should also continue.
All right. He says system should continue. But I tell you honestly, I finished from University of Port Harcourt. I know what it was like sitting on the floor in the arena on that concrete slab. For lectures, it's not funny at all. Or going to have to sit in the auditorium, the stadium, or going into the gym to have classes, or you need to have classes and then you don't have enough classrooms, and then you're beginning to look at where you're going to sit to have classes. You don't even have facilities. I did a computer course at the time, a borrowed course. We had only one laptop in front, and in class we were over 1,000 students. All right. I remember it was very well. It was an affirmer. We had that class. One laptop in front and you have over 1,000 students. You know what that means? Like every other student behind is lost. We don't even understand what you're talking binary and whatever you're talking about. We don't understand. We can't see. We don't know. So I understand what you might be saying. But for those of us who went through that system, it was because we had personal will and you had to do extra work. But I wouldn't even encourage that the system remains that way. A lot needs to be done in our educational system. If you're saying they need to secure, they are jeopardizing the future of children, I would also look at it as not providing what is necessary it means jeopardizing the future of children who you tell that education is important. All right. So if you're going to tell them education is important, then you have to provide the education so that they see that it is important and it is of good quality. It's the reason why some people want to go abroad, because of what they see. So, yes, we have the system as it used to be has done its fair work. But then it also needs to be upgraded. If you look at it, you might want to agree. Nothing should stay the same way forever. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Good morning, the very distinguished Jamie Andrew.
All right, go ahead.
I remain temporary, okay.
Go on.
The very distinguished Jamie Andrew, at this point in time, should we as the people continue to control in this alcohol of a strike all the time? Like the federal government says, they have reached the demands and requirements of ASU. And that is where I begin to wonder. Is it that the demand they made is an audio one, or is it invisible that ASU as a group cannot, you know, see it, or it cannot reflect to their own demand or whatever they are agitating for, which at the end of the day will put our education system in a good light? In as much as they are pushing forward the demand, and I think at this point in time, we should get it right, no matter how disastrous it might be. But at the end of the day, if they return back, they should, with immediate alacrity and equal alacrity, consider the students themselves, because they are also human. The fees and all the necessary payment that has been made that is just wasted, when they return back, they should at least do something to reconsider them. And most of the fees shouldn't be double paid, because they get a force from their own part. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I think the ASU chairman, former chairman, ASU Unipol chapter, spoke on this. We don't know who is telling the truth. The federal government said they've met all the demands. The ASU, former ASU Unipol chairman, says, no, it's not true. In fact, he said that the Minister of State for Education was not even in the meetings that they've had with the Minister of Labour and Employment. And then he even talked about the revitalization fund, two tranches that was paid. The government didn't even have a report or to show that they made that payment. There was no data to show that, oh, that payment was made. And that also is another issue altogether. So perhaps both parties would have to come to an open debate, I don't know, and bring out their facts and state this before us so we know who's telling the truth and who's not. Until then, we have to just get back to WhatsApp messages. Good morning. Please help me ask the former ASU chairman, Unipol chapter, what is the main reason behind the disagreement with UTAS and IPPIS? I think it's how the payment covers lecturers. There's a difference, there's some disparities. He was trying to make that explanation known. UTAS for them says more comprehensive and covers the activities of lecturers even more than the IPPIS, because the university system is some sort of a separate system from the general civil service operations, right? Also, all the money each university is collecting from student and school fees, can they use it to fund and revitalize the university? That's another question that you have to ask the university management, not ASU, because ASU is not university management, right? But we know that they would talk about day-to-day running of the university. Those things should cover it. They would answer that question best. Please, concession to universities, let them partly owned by government and other stakeholders and be run in semi-autonomous basis. Okay. Another message on WhatsApp here says, good morning, please. ASU and federal government must resolve these issues this week. We can't stay back any longer. Federal government also issued a statement that they have met their demands. No stiff necks. COVID-19 has already taken part of our school calendar. We can't die for being Nigerians. Emmanuel from Port Harcourt sent in that message. We take one more call and we are done for this morning. Hello. We lost that call, sadly. This one says, it's obvious that the government did not address the problems but added to the levy collected. Okay, this is not for us. Hello, Nigeria Info. Yes,
hello, Nigeria Info. Hello, Andrew. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You're our last caller on the show this morning. Go on.
Yes, it's all bad, Kim. I'm calling you from Port Harcourt.
Okay, go ahead.
Andrew, I think all well-meaning Nigerians should support us. Even Nans has fired for a very long time. Nans should put a fire on the government to implement whatever agreement that they have agreed with us. I mean, the government have remained recalcitrant in 2009 agreement, and people are blaming ASU. For me, I do not blame ASU in this matter at all. Because what ASU is fighting for, that our university should be university. You understand? Not just a male glorified primary school. Andrew, I went through Uniport. You understand? We know what we saw there. You understand? We know what we passed through. Public addresses that they use in class that is more than 300. You understand? Yeah. Public addresses that more people cannot even get
what I'm saying. Oh, yeah.
You understand? So, ASU is demanding what is right. Please, federal government, do what is right. Let our university become university. Thank you very much.
On that note, I would wrap things up on the Morning Crossfire today. Just brought back some old memories when he said the public address system. You know what you see in the arena? Sometimes you have like three different lecturers of different departments in the arena on the stairs. They're just seated on that slab, concrete slabs, and they are all teaching different things using three different address public address systems. And then you'd say, somebody's telling me that we don't need to change that. Yes, I went through that and came out, and I'm trying to pull my own life together. I don't think you would say it's because I sat down on those slabs. Well, that's a conversation for another day. Let's just leave it. But as soon as the federal government and students need to come together, and we have to forge a way forward, because this affecting students in some very, 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 very bad way. It's also affecting the system, the educational system. It's affecting ASU lecturers. It's even affecting the federal government, because if this is not sorted out, the next administration also would inherit this, and the problem continues. Overall, society would suffer for it. That's what it means. And who is society? Me and you. One last message before we go on WhatsApp. Someone says, good morning, Andrew. Okay. Good morning, Andrew. Student union need to protest against the government. ASU is not the problem, but government is the problem. David from Port Harcourt sent in that one. Thank you very much. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Ifeyemi Andrew on Twitter, Ifeyemi Andrew Official on Facebook and on Instagram. Ifeyemi is spelled IFIEMI. Do have a lovely day.